In the fall of 1963, the Beach Boys celebrated a national hero. Just 2 months earlier, Craig Breedlove and the jet engine-powered Spirit of America had set a new land speed record. But Breedlove didn't stop there. Only a Game's Gary Wallach has the story.
On October 15, 1964, Craig Breedlove hurtled across Utah's Bonneville Salt Flats. He reached a top speed of 526 miles per hour.
He's coming. He's moving right along. He's really pouring it on. Here he comes.
Breedlove had just surpassed his own land speed record, but things began to go wrong as he tried to slow down. The first problem was with the emergency parachute.
The chute broke off, and I didn't know that that had happened.
But he did know about some of the other things that were going wrong. The steering was malfunctioning, and then there were the brakes.
He tries the brakes. They melt.
That's writer Samuel Hawley.
He has no brakes. He's going 500 miles an hour. He's running out of course, and he's got no way to stop.
So I came down the course and went through the place that I'm supposed to be stopped.
Went through is understatement in the extreme.
I was still traveling a good 400 miles an hour.
Crew members gave chase in cars, but their top speeds were just 70 or 80 miles per hour. They knew Spirit of America wouldn't stop before it reached a construction site at the edge of the highway.
I had to make it over a wooden bridge that they had built and ended up knocking down a telephone pole by Highway 80 and went over an embankment at about 220 miles an hour, and the car went airborne.
Breedlove wouldn't tell me if he was terrified when that happened. He's too logical and too analytical to betray emotion. But put yourself in the cockpit of Spirit of America as it launched skyward. Wouldn't you be? And wouldn't that make you rethink your career choice? Craig Breedlove grew up in Mar Vista, California, a residential neighborhood in West Los Angeles. At first, he wasn't interested in cars. He liked to build model airplanes.
And he wasn't just making kits. He was actually designing and making planes from scratch.
Until he noticed what his neighbors were up to.
And he went across the street and he said, "Hey guys, what are you doing?" And they said, "I'm making a hot rod." That was it. He started building his first car when he was 13.
Breedlove graduated from high school in 1955. By the time he was 20, he was married with three kids. But he had big dreams.
I wanted not to live my whole life and die and just be a marker on a tombstone. I just had a real drive to do something that was significant.
Breedlove took odd jobs to support his young family. He found some time to build hot rods, which gave him an idea. The land speed record of 394 miles per hour had been set by a British racer in 1947. Breedlove would try to break it with the help of new technology.
It was right at the end of the Korean War era.
There was a particular fighter jet engine that Craig had his eye on, the General Electric J-47.
There were literally thousands of those engines that came onto the surplus market.
And he went down to the place in L.A. where they had several hundred of these jet engines, and he asked the guy, "You know, how much do you get for scrap for one of these things?" And the guy said, "About $500. So Craig says, "Well, if I gave you $500, could I have one?" And the guy said, "Yeah, I'll set one aside for you."
Breedlove lined up sponsors and designed an aluminum and fiberglass vehicle that looked more like a missile than a car. In 1960, he began working on it in his father's garage. He called it Spirit of America. Over the next few years, competition for the land speed record grew fierce, and lots of people watched. This was an era of national optimism, fueled by the space race and rapid technological progress. Craig Breedlove's 1963 triumph had made him a star. But now other drivers and designers wanted the spotlight and the land speed record. Foremost among them was Ohio farmer Art Arfons, who drove a fast and dangerous machine called Green Monster.
He had a crash just about every time. His right rear tire would blow, and somehow he kept his big car from rolling and killing him, but it was scary.
Arfons and Breedlove returned to Bonneville for the 1964 season.
And at this point, Craig is becoming afraid. He's becoming frightened. The stress, the strain is all getting so intense. So when he heads back again with the goal to go 500 miles an hour, he really has a premonition that he's going to get killed.
On October 2nd, a car designed by Art Arfon's brother reached 413 miles per hour. 3 days later, Art himself topped out at 434. 8 days after that, Breedlove pushed the record to 468. But he knew Spirit of America, with a new jet engine that featured an afterburner, could go even faster. Which brings us back to Breedlove's 526-mile-per-hour record-setting run on October 15th of 1964, when he rocketed past his astonished crew. With no brakes or emergency parachute and very little steering, Breedlove cut the engine. But he was still going more than 200 miles an hour by the time he hit that embankment and launched into the air over an evaporation pond.
The first time I hit the water, the car kind of skipped like a rock that you throw across a lake, and it jumped off the water. And the second time it came down, the water grabbed it really tight and sucked me down. And then I was starting to sink. I had my seatbelt off and everything, but I couldn't get out of the cockpit, and it was starting to take me under the water. And then I realized I hadn't unplugged my breathing mask.
Breedlove freed himself and swam to shore. He was met by his crew.
I'm not doing it again.
What a ride.
Well, for my next trick.
Spirit of America was recovered, repaired, and donated to the Museum of Science and Industry in Chicago. In the fall of 1965, Breedlove, in a new car, and Art Arfons met once more at Bonneville.
And Art said, so what's going to happen here, Craig? If I take the record from you, are you just going to come back and take it back from me? And we're going to keep going back and forth until one of us gets killed? And Craig was kind of taken aback by this, but he said, well, yeah, I guess so. And so Art Arfon says, well, it's going to be like a game of Russian roulette then.
Breedlove went first. On November 2nd, he reached 555 miles per hour. 3 days later, Arfons took the record back.
It was 576 miles an hour that Art pushed it to.
On November 15th, Breedlove took two runs. On the second,
the nose of his Spirit of America Sonic One is starting to lift off the ground. He's on the verge of flying, but somehow he hung on and he set the record at 600.601 miles per hour. Amazingly, no one died.
Craig Breedlove's land speed record fell in 1970. Soon after, he was selling real estate. Breedlove tried to take the record back in 1996, but he failed in that attempt. He's happy with his accomplishments, but once a barrier pusher, always a barrier pusher.
We're working on a car to break 1,000 miles an hour, but so far we haven't been able to raise the necessary backing. I won't be driving it anyway. So anyway, I'm 81 now, so enough's enough.
Samuel Hawley knows not as many people care about the land speed record as in the 60s. But, he says, Craig Breedlove's example is timeless.
Craig had the naivety to believe that somebody so little and insignificant as him could actually achieve something so big. He was a little guy in his dad's garage, and he did something absolutely huge.
That story was by Only a Game's Gary Wallach. Samuel Hawley's new book is Ultimate Speed: The Fast Life and Extreme Cars of Racing Legend Craig Breedlove.